Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have actually two special guests today.
All right.
We were having lunch with one of our special guests, actually both of them, but this was kind of an unexpected guest selection for today's episode because we were just having lunch and we were talking about it, and it ended up being a really good conversation about some of the things that we talked about or Pastor Ross talked about in our sermon this week. And so we said, hey, would you guys like to come on the podcast? And graciously, they said they would come on. So welcome back to the show, Sakura Reese. Welcome back, Zach.
Thank you.
As a first-time guest, all the way from Hawaii, we have special guest Jason LaFelt. Welcome, Jason.
Aloha.
Oh, he's still muted. Way to go.
Oh, I didn't push the unmute. Okay, let's try that again. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Aloha. I thought it was just me when it didn't come in my ears.
Kyle's looking over at my buttons and it's still on mute. I was like, shoot, my bad. What a great way to intro a guest. You forget
we really don't want you to talk.
All right. So actually wanted to throw it over to Sax so that she can give a proper intro to Jason since he was here to visit her.
Yeah. I'm so happy to have Jason come visit us in Long Beach, all the way out here. So I first met Jason and Tisha years ago, but it was through the Explicit Movement. And that kind of just was the beginning of just many things, different ministries, and being able to work with both Jason and Tisha. There was this one time I got to visit them at their home, and they, of course, you know, invited me to come over. And I think we had gumbo, was it? You made like a really yummy, spicy gumbo.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best, right before a hike.
Hey, fuel it up.
And the rest of us really found out that Jason really likes spicy, so he had some extra jalapenos with his lunch today.
And so, and I think some of you listeners already know Tisha and Jason, just, you know, through his journey of, you know, dealing with Tisha's cancer and, and just, you know, try not to be emotional about this, but
Let it go.
It's just been a long journey for him, and just being able to pray for Tisha as a church. And it's such a privilege to be able to have you on here today. I mean, who would have known, like, that you were going to be willing to do this?
We literally asked him, like, 10 minutes ago that he was, and he was gracious enough to say yes.
So thank you so much.
I kind of dominated the lunch conversation for an hour.
But that's one reason that we really wanted him to come on, is just the way the conversation was going and the things that he was sharing were really a real-life application of the things that Pastor Ross was talking about. So the title of Pastor Ross's sermon was Seeing Earthly Problems as Heavenly Opportunities. And it just seemed like story after story after story. And Jason sharing about his journey with Tish and her cancer situation, you know, that's a real life problem that they went through and that he went through and that he was dealing with. But also at the same time, he was recognizing the opportunities that the Lord was giving them to experience him in deeper ways, to see the ways that the Lord was setting him up with these different relationships and things. It was just like amazing. So really wanted to have him come on and share and encourage our people with a real life, you know, someone that actually going through and living out what Pastor Ross was talking about in his sermon yesterday. So thanks for coming on again, Jason.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so you're going to kick it off with a question or what? David points at me. I'm like, hey, I want to hear this too.
So one of the things that kind of stood out to me that Jason was sharing is, you know, he was talking, and yesterday in Pastor Ross's sermon, he was talking about two very specific names of God that were really highlighted to him in this season for himself, which are Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Jireh. And Jason was talking about their journey and how the Lord actually spoke to him about those names. So can you share a little bit about that, Jason?
Yeah. Of course, when you step into especially a cancer journey, and Tisha's cancer diagnosis, as some of you may know, was rare and aggressive from the get-go. we knew, we could tell by the look on the oncologist's face and the way they communicate with you, how big of a challenge, maybe a giant, you have before you. And we knew it was going to be substantial. But in that, of course, in those times from the get-go, we're beginning to cry out for Jehovah Rapha, mm-hmm. to do what we know. We know that we know that we know God can do. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're gonna stand, we're gonna pray, but at the same time, as we were doing this, I began to watch God move. And I began to see the things that he was doing. And I said to myself, and I probably when I say that, I will say, well, honestly, it was probably the Holy Spirit giving me this thought, because it was probably smarter than I could conjure on my own. But in that, I would just say, I began to say, I need to keep my eyes on what he's doing, not what I want him to do that I'm not perceiving is being done. Mm. And in that, it was, we didn't see. I mean, she went through a first round of chemotherapy, and the cancer really barely slowed down, and it was just, but in this time so quickly, and it was, is her words, that this was earth-shattering, but heaven invading. We begin to see the works of God and through people around us, through our friends, through our family, through our loved ones that began to surround us and began to come in ways that we were just like, the third one I'll throw in there was Emmanuel, God with us. It was just undeniable that he's through all of the actions of the people around us at times. It's just, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. And then there was just so many beautiful acts of people and sovereignly God moving in ways that was just unequivocally, I'm your provider. I am going to provide for you. And he provided in ways that I am going to say, I wasn't even smart enough to pray for. Yeah. I so often was just like, what? Oh my gosh. I didn't even know I needed that. Mm-hmm. But what was I thinking? So, I mean, and as I was telling you guys, it was like when I was in Houston, when the first chemotherapy didn't work, we go to Houston to MD Anderson to get her into a phase 1 trial. Now that means you're already starting to kind of almost, as they would say in football, throw the Hail Mary.
Yeah, right.
These drugs never been in people before, but they're believing this might work on her unique cancer. And I was out for a jog that one evening, and I felt God just tell me, I've surrounded you with everyone you'll need. Mm. I'm going to tell you, your community of faith and my community of faith is so, so important during these times. Mm-hmm. And unlike my wife, that those of you met my wife know that, I mean, to put the label of extrovert on her is is like, okay, make it capital letters with an exclamation point, is who she is. And so she quickly was going to walk this out in public, she told me, and being on radio and being having the social media presence she did, and the friend circles that are so huge, we had just this avalanche of love coming into our lives in so many ways. And it was just mind-blowing, because as he had told me that, though, it was like I was able to see. And as these people would come in, I'm going, God, that's you. And this is the way we stay in faith. This is the way that I could sit and go, God, I can trust you because I'm watching what you are doing. And you're bringing the people around me that are encouraging. You're bringing around the people that are praying. You're bringing around the people that are bringing food, or just these little things. And we could just look around and go, this is the invasion of God and the invasion of heaven into our lives.
And just, hearing you describe that, it I got a lot of different reactions to it, but one was like just being the people in the community and those little acts that sometimes we can discount and say, well, it's not that big a deal. It's just this, it's just that. But then you hear it from the way you're describing it. And it's like each one of those meant something and each one was purposeful and specific, like God sent them for a reason. And then that there was stuff that you needed.
Yes.
And like that, I think sometimes we can, or I can't even discount like, it wasn't that big a deal. And I think it's something we're trying to keep pride away but it's like, oh no, but if I'm doing the Lord's work and if I'm obedient, like, wow, what a blessing that can be for the community around us.
And I love what you just said. And I'll even say, you know, to the person, I just, people would say, well, I just had this thought, you know, come on, you know, we all know, you know, it's like, you know, how many times it's not like, Jason, this is the Lord.
You know, yeah, right. And,
but is it an act of love? Is it an act of encouragement? Is it an act of, you know, those things are God moving through you in the uniqueness of the ways. And I watch people just say, oh yeah, I just thought you guys might need dinner tonight. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And it's just like every little thing. And then we had people, I mean, I had people around me. I had people that went way back in my life that I don't, in ways lost touch with, reaching out to me. And a friend from high school literally telling me, Jason, what can I do? Mm. And I go, well, Dave, I don't need anything. Mm. And he goes, no, you didn't hear me. Mm. I didn't ask you, what do you need? I need to do something. Mm. Wow. Mm. That is the love and the care that God was stirring in hearts, and just people wanted to support, wanted to contribute, and sometimes little ways, sometimes we saw monumental ways.
So I have a follow-up question to that.
Yeah.
So was that word from the Lord of you hearing that you have everything you're going to need, right?
I've surrounded you with it.
Would you have been able to receive it as well or as fully if you hadn't heard that? Or was that something that you really needed? Or was that just confirmation of what you already kind of believed and felt?
You know, I know it really helped. I would say I likely would have seen it to some level because Tish had already really put those words in there that this was heaven invading. Mm. And so we were seeing these things. When he said that, it really was like almost like turning the volume knob up on my recognition of so many more littler things that I was able to just go, God, that is so you.
So way more awareness of the Lord's hand in little things.
Yes. Yeah. And when you're dealing with whatever difficulty or troubling times you're dealing with, let's face it, you know, that of seeing and knowing more and more, God, you're with me. God, you're providing for me. That's what our souls and spirits need.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
I think, you know, one of the things that Pastor Ross kind of spent a decent amount of time on during his sermon was helping us to see things through different lenses. And sometimes when we see, you know, difficult news or something difficult that we're going through, we look at it through a problem mindset. And he was encouraging us to look at it through an opportunity mindset, which is a little bit different. And so I really felt like, Jason, when you shared that, when the diagnosis came and that Tish said, this is earth shattering, but it's heaven invading. That's really a real life example of taking that difficult diagnosis, but recognizing the opportunity that the Lord has to invade.
Yes.
In that. Where do you think that came from in her, that she was able to see that type of news? Because, you know, sometimes it's hard to see little news, but that's a huge thing that she's hearing. How do you think that she was able to, was it, you know, like little things that the Lord was doing over time and it just all of a sudden it grew? Or was it really something that was like a quicker thing? Like,
it was a quicker thing with her. Mm-hmm. And I think because when the news came out, it was so shocking. Mm-hmm. A lot of her friends were like, you're the healthiest person I think I know. Mm-hmm. You know, they were going, oh my gosh. You know, they're looking at their own lives and going, knowing how they ate or didn't exercise and things and going, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And it was so shocking, and people were in such disbelief. There was such a reaction. I mean, we had people probably in our house, you know, within 24 hours. We want to pray for you. We want to, you know, can we just come in and worship? And it was, and so it was just almost so glaringly apparent that the reaction of people was just so over the top. I think that's initially where she was able to see it, you know, so quick and clear. But then as we began to walk in and talk in, and on my side, there's from the get-go, and this has been a very common theme, kind of my some of my life scripture that we didn't even touch earlier, that Romans 8:28 is something that is just burned in, but I always continue it into Romans 8:29. Mm-hmm. Now, those of you may not be triggering on that verse off the top of your head. Let me see if I can pull it off. you know, and for we know that in all things, God works for the good of those according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, 29 continues. But I say that because we know that in all things, God's going to work for the good. The good for me in my moment and my prayers initially is healing her. But what do I know that I know to be true in my life? That every time difficulty hits, every kind of trial comes my way, God, this is that opportunity that your pastor Ross talked about. One of the things is for me to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And I can tell you my prayer from the very beginning, I said, God, I don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how this is going to end up. I trust you. But one thing I do know, you want to bring me out of this a man that looks more like Jesus, that cares more like Jesus, that can love more like Jesus. And I know that is your will. And so I began to open my heart and my prayers and for him to begin to show me, God, what are the things that probably need to be removed, turn down the volume on my selfishness, my pride, my fears. And where is it that, what is it you're looking to build in me?
Yeah. That's something that I was kind of meditating on and was talking to a small group that I'm a part of on how I think, I'm going to mess this up. 1 Corinthians somewhere.
It's written.
It's talking about just that God knows us so well, right? Yeah. Paul, I believe, was no, not Paul. So I'm not going to stop right there. It's talking about how God knows us so well. He already knows what we need. Mm. All we have to do is ask him what we need to know in this moment.
Yeah.
In that sometimes when we're praying, you know, we think sometimes so narrowly that, you know, we're praying out of our fears. We're praying out of our, you know, what we want, what we need in this moment. But we forget that, you know, God, there is a will, right?
Yes.
That God has for us. And so for us to then kind of shift that posture to, you know, well, God, what do you want me to know right now?
Yes, you know, like, beautiful.
Yes, I know I'm going through this struggle right now, but what is it that you want me to know now, and what do you want me to do? And that's kind of been kind of my most recent journey is when, you know, I have a word for someone or I have an opportunity to even speak, you know, and like encouragement. Mm-hmm. It's just that I'm not looking into what I want to say, but to ask Holy Spirit, you know, what is your will? What do you want me to know about this person? And so that's kind of what you're describing.
Yeah.
And when I think of Tisha, I think about, you know, as I mentioned earlier, she's not only, you know, joy in human form, she reflects, you know, the Father's heart. And just knowing what, you know, we need in our life in a way. And shows up and just says, you know, I'm here for you. I think, you know, I'm kind of jealous for the people in the state of Hawaii that they had Tisha for this long, you know, just that impartation that she had on your community, your friends. Mm. And I think that reflects how they're now, you know, just able to kind of then receive, you know, God's, you know, just continuous, you know, just flow of his heart onto you and your community.
No, that's beautifully said. And I really resonate with what you're saying of, and I can say as I listen to people pray throughout this journey, and let's face it, I mean, we were surrounded by so many that were struggling with this diagnosis and mm-hmm. struggling with at times her decline or the pain and things, and we're crying out as we should for the circumstance, the situation, the problem. But in that, God's looking to shape and form our hearts, our beliefs. I mean, if we're to become more than an overcomer, mm-hmm. What is it about maybe he needs to take that fear factor in my life down and take my faith factor a little bit further up. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what he's needing to do in this time, that what is the work and what do I need to know, or what do I need to come to? Where do I need to come and trust him more deeply and believe in him more? And such that I'm being transformed, I'm being changed, and that I'm coming out of this more than a conqueror. Mm. Not just, oh yeah, I got through that, but I am. I'm that soul ministry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think one of the amazing things that has come out in you sharing, especially at lunchtime, was just how many people were coming to you to try to support you, and they left these conversations saying, wow, Jason, like, you really helped bring healing to my life. Just the ways that the Lord has been leading you, speaking to you, the way that you're able to find joy in some of these situations, you're able to help point out the different ways that God has shown up, and how that has raised other people's faith when they were trying to come to you to support you and care for you, and you're ending up supporting and caring for them, but really it's because of what you've received from the Lord. And I thought that was really cool. Can you share a little bit about some of those stories?
Yeah. And I got so many of them, as I said, but you know, the one of them that I was talking about earlier, that, as I said, we watched God work in the details. We watched him when we were least expecting it show up. And it happened through, again, strangers as well. And the fun one, when we were in Houston, she had a friend flying in, and they were gonna drive to go watch Chris Stapleton play in Dallas. And we're in Houston. It's a, I don't know, 3 to 4 hour drive, but we only had one car we were borrowing her cousin's car. And so she knew she couldn't really take that. So I was just like, just go find a Turo, you know, 3-4 days, go. So she has a Turo rented, and then Turo contacts her and is like, somebody wrecked that car. We need to find you another one. Okay, let's go find another one. They throw one out for her. So when the day comes, I drive her over there, and we drive into a neighborhood. And I'm going to tell you, it was, you know, I'm kind of going, not the safest neighborhood in the residents of Houston. I park. An African-American gentleman walks out of the residence, and I get out of the car to go meet him. And I ask him his name. Oh, hey, what's your name? And he has an Afrikaans accent. And he says, Job. And I'm like, wait. I'm thinking, did I just hear right? Did this guy just tell me his name's Job? And I go, did you say Job, like in the Bible? And he goes, yes. And I'm like, well, that's a little interesting. So at this point, we're talking, he's starting to check the car out, and he looks at Tish. She's, you know, our heads are both shaved. She's had to shave her head from chemotherapy. And he asks her, and he goes, why are you here? And she goes, well, I'm at MD Anderson. And he goes, ah, everybody on Houston knows MD Anderson, top cancer treatment center. He goes, I need to pray for you, but first I need to go get my wife. And I'm like, okay. So Job treks into the house, hauls his wife out, and, you know, we're like, okay, you know, they're going to pray for us. Job and his wife start calling heaven down in this driveway. The Holy Spirit falls. My wife and I have tears streaming down our face. We're just here to rent a Turo. And God even had to adjust the Turo
plan. I know,
because
another one got wrecked.
Yeah, you kind of feel sorry, you know? It's like, did your car get wrecked? Okay, we won't try to theologize that. Yeah. But it's to say, he puts us in the exact place we need to be to say, I'm with you.
Right.
If you don't get this, I'm going to pull out some stops. Mm-hmm. I am with you. Mm-hmm. And it was those things that I began to write down and reflect upon. And so you have to be looking, God, what are you doing in my situation? What is the smallest maybe positive thing? Because if it's good, it's from him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we need to see those and then start to thank him. I mean, that's the way we recognize it and we give him thanks back for what he's doing. And it was so many of these things that he began to do that would just lift our hearts and lift our spirits to encourage us that, God, even though this is hard, even though this is doesn't seem to be going the right way at times, I trust you and you're with us. Mm-hmm. And I know you have my wife's life and you have my life.
The thing I find most encouraging is just that you were able to experience that in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's sometimes where after the event ends or, you know, the turmoil subsides and you can look back and, now I can see it. And it's that there's blessings in that, right?
Yeah.
And you can grow from that and your faith increases. But how much more to be able to do it in the moment? Mm-hmm. Because that's when you really need that. And so just that those stories are so encouraging to hear, like, yes, I need to remember in the midst of it. That's the hardest part in the midst of it. Where are my eyes? Am I thinking about the problem like Pastor Ross was talking about, or am I thinking about the heavenly opportunities and what's before me?
Mm-hmm. No, that's, you're so right. And I think, and I look back at it, what helped keep my nose above the waterline, you know, and that's what I said.
I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Oh, and believe me, but I mean, were there times that it was below the waterline? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Discouraged, down, struggling. Yes. But I think for me, one of the things that I, in my life, there's probably just some, a lot of people consider me a fairly disciplined individual, you know, in just my life across the board, whether it comes to my taking care of myself, physically eating, but it's also my spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. And I knew in that season of my life, I needed to double down on the basics. I'm going to roll out of bed. I am going for the cup of coffee first. I'm going to say I'm not maybe as holy as some of you that could drop to your knees and start praying. I'm going for the French press. But then that's the next move. I'm going to say something that if you're in a season that's really rough, I almost felt that I needed more structure. Mm. And being a man who's walked with God for pushing 30 years almost now, you know, your morning, if you're a morning person or if it's afternoon, evening, whatever it is, your times with God, that devotional connection time, it's going to shift in maybe what you're doing. And I realized for me, I'm going to tell you two things. One, somebody handed us a copy before we left of a classic devotional. I'd heard of it, but never read through it, called Streams in the Desert. Mm-hmm. Okay, just listen to the title. Enough said. Streams in the Desert. You might find yourself right now feeling like you're walking in the desert. You're walking in the wilderness. It's a rough time. It's a tough season. You got to find the streams, and that stream is God. And I started reading through this devotional because it gave me some really good structure, something to focus on instead of maybe just like I've done in other seasons, reading through Mark, you know, reading through a book of the Bible, reading. Yeah. And so that was one that would guide my time. I've always been kind of a journaler too. But then the other thing that I really turned up the volume on was my worship. Mm-hmm. my worship, songs for the season, mm-hmm. is something I really, and for me in that season, it was YouTube. I would go onto YouTube and I had songs and I needed to hear them. Mm-hmm. It began to raise my faith. It's speaking truth to me. And then I would begin to sing along. Mm-hmm. And those two things, that structure and that consistency. And in the times of reflection, then I could look back even maybe that day and see what to be thankful for. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, God? Mm-hmm. And those daily disciplines are just so key. Mm-hmm. So, so key.
Good word.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's intimacy. I think you're describing
yes.
what intimacy looks like, at nice. Least for me.
Nice language.
I know that some of us, it's hard to grasp that concept. But for me, when I hit that, you know, just that connection with the Lord, it's just, I'm in tears, I'm a hot mess, and I'm just all over the place and just calling and texting people for no reason. But no, it's, yeah, like you say, like it's a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
It's structure. It's good for you. And you kind of have to stop and not let life kind of, you know, get a hold of you.
Yes.
There's so much more going on in the spiritual. And if you can see that kingdom that I know Pastor Ross, you know, always talks about, is that you're reaching for that kingdom, that having that kingdom mindset.
Yeah.
That you're not really focusing on what's going on around you, but you know, like what, you know, what's God showing you every day, like every minute, every hour of the day.
Yeah. And if you can get there, wow. Yeah. And I'd just say for some of you, it might even be a tiny shift. Sometimes we can, let's face it. I'm guilty of this. I won't drag anybody else into my bucket of sin. No, but I can just sit there and literally at times ruminate about the problem. You know, it's just going around. You're thinking about it. How is this going to work out?
Yes.
You know, and just that. And it's just like, instead of ruminating, just take that same thing and just start talking to him about it. Just literally turn that into a conversation instead of almost a complaint.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for some of you might now, it might be you're just in that place and you're stuck. And just make that small shift. Just ask the Holy Spirit to help you even. God, when I start to just dwell on this, help me just start nothing more than maybe talking to him about it. Mm-hmm. God, I surrender this to you. I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm afraid right now. Mm-hmm. Whatever is real and true, just turn it into a conversation.
I liked how when you were describing the YouTube with the worship, because I really felt that's your the music is the conduit for bringing your spirit alive and your spirit in connection with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because in those moments of difficulty, it's hard. Our flesh wants to come out, our emotions, our own will, our thoughts and things like that. But I could see how that would be super impactful and powerful for you. And I've experienced that at different times too, where I need my spirit to be nourished and actually kind of drawn forward and drawn more to the forefront. So it takes its rightful place as the leader instead of like my flesh.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. I love how you said that. I'm in a different season. As if you didn't know, on December 11th, at about 3:11 in the afternoon, Tish went home to heaven. Mm. And so I've been in a season of walking this out, and it's very different season and challenging in its own ways. But one of the things now, I'm in a very blessed place I'm 59 years old, and the blessings God's tossed at me, I have very few demands upon my life. I'm not needing to work full time right now. I'm part time at best. But in that, my morning quiet times and devotional and times of intimacy, it can go for a while, let's just say. But that to say, I felt like what I needed to start doing in my worship was in this season, then not turn the YouTube on. Mm. I needed to bring it out of my own heart. Mm-hmm. No music. I know. I am probably not, you know, you're not going to find me on any, you know, recorded singing albums. Like, you know, I don't care what it didn't matter what your voice sounds like. I needed to generate that prayer and those praises from my heart to him. I needed to activate my own will and spirit to begin in this, to sing songs. And it's a different, I've curated a playlist for this season now, walking out, and where I have that playlist that I will listen to, but it's a lot of those songs that I'm singing. If you don't know the artist, Stephanie Gretzinger.
Oh my God, one of my favorites. I talk about her all the time.
Oh, The Narrow Way. I could do some time in that song. I also do a lot of time in silence. I haven't turned on a car radio in quite a while. And I do my driving in just silence and contemplating. And then a song comes to my mind, and there I'm singing it. And so it's going to change based on what season. And maybe you're in a place that you just need to activate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love how you are sharing about the different seasons and how you're just awareness of what the Lord is doing in that season. Yeah. And you have the humility to adjust to that season too. It's not just like, this worked for me in the past season, so it's going to work for me in this next season too. But you're open to saying, okay, that was a different season. I'm in a new season now. What does the Lord want to do in me in this season? Where in that season, it was the music that was ministering to you from the outside, but now it's the Lord calling your spirit to the forefront and saying, I want to generate this within you that it's going to pour out of you as opposed to needing to be filled.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
No, thank you. Maybe it's 30 years and 59 years old, but as you're just talking, you know, as I talk about the shift of seasons, as I came out of, and there's, I mean, I would say likelihood, maybe somebody hasn't lost a spouse in this season per se, but maybe loss of other types, other people passing in your life and the grief and walking out. But one of the things, and God's faithfulness has continued so, so much in this season. One of the things he just pulled out the stops to show me, and it was maybe about 5 or 6 days after Tish had gone home to heaven. I have friends that live over on the Big Island. I live on the island of Oahu, and they'd been beckoning me to come. Mm-hmm. They were just, Jason, get over here and let us just love on you. Mm-hmm. And that was a place that I knew my heart felt safe. I knew it was almost, I needed to go. It felt like the right move to make. Mm-hmm. I kind of needed probably a change of a little bit of a scenery from the house. We'd got her home and she'd passed in the house. I didn't see it as a too much of that, but I just needed to get out. And so I flew over to Hilo. My friend that I hadn't really talked to in a few years, voice to voice, with messaging a lot back and forth. And he picks me up, and they live up in the volcano area, which is about 40-minute drive, but we talk, we catch up, we're crying at some restaurant, we drive up there 40 minutes. They're on about 9 acres in this just gorgeous area, and I see his wife, she comes out, we're crying. She looks at me, and she says, Jason, there was a baby goat born less than an hour ago. Do you want to go see a baby goat? And I'm like, how can you say no to that? I mean, my wife, and many of you may have, if you followed her on Instagram, or if you do actually and are interested and you didn't happen to see the celebration of her life, YouTube, Live a Life of Exclamations, you can find it out there. It's been streamed about 4,400 times the last time I looked. But all this to say, her words, live a life of exclamations. You just don't say no to these things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, of course. So we walk out. Here's this baby goat, baby barely standing up, mom. My buddy kind of swoops down, picks up the baby goat, and looks at me and goes, do you want to hold the baby goat? Well, of course I want to hold the baby goat. Puts this baby goat into my arms. And God breaks in. And all of a sudden I hear, this is a new life, and I have a new life for you. I did not know what I needed more than anything in that lost and shattered moment of my life was hope. I needed hope, and he dropped in the seed of hope. And I think some of you might be in a dark place as well, whether it's grief and or lost. You got to know, just like God's telling me and reinforcing me in this season of my life, I'm not done with you yet. Mm-hmm. He has purposes and plans. They may look different than you thought they were going to. It may be a pivot or a shift. As you can imagine, my life is pivoted and shifted so massively compared to what I ever saw it doing. But I say that to say, He wants to bring you hope. He may not bring you a baby goat. That was just for me maybe that day. But I just really want to encourage you. Don't lose hope. Get around the people that you need to get around to and let them speak life and hope into your life.
Yeah, so good. I mean, there's two themes that keep coming back for me. One is community.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's like, you need to reach out, and then you need to have a community so people can actually in your community can reach out to you, because so, there's sometimes you just feel like you can't do it and you need that friend like that to say, hey, Jason, get over here. You need to come here now.
Yeah.
And that's what you needed. But we have to develop that and we have to pour into it, and so that we can do that for others and then others can do that for us. I think that hearing that theme kind of just kind of being recurring in what you've been sharing has been super encouraging. Our church is very relational and community focused. And sometimes I think we take it for granted, but just hearing the impact of your story and your sharing is like, you see the value of investing in that.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. The second part was, the biblical disciplines that you're talking about. My wife's on this journey of exploring the disciplines, and she's passionate. She wants to like take, right? Zach's laughing because they do like women's Bible study and different things. They just did one on scripture reading. And
we will get Mimo on here to talk about her journey with spiritual disciplines eventually. So.
But the fact that you are implementing different disciplines, but then I really valued how you were talking about how they shift.
Yeah.
Because I think there's certain disciplines that we can even gravitate towards and some that are just natural connections for us. But like you said, sometimes in different seasons, like they have to at least shift a little bit in those same ones. But sometimes it's like, wow, actually, I need a different discipline right now. Like you said, structure. I need meditation. I need worship. I need these different things. And so, I think as in the Western world, I think we lose track of the value of those disciplines. So hearing you talk about that in such a difficult journey and struggle, super encouraging.
Oh, thank you. And silence and solitude, I cannot overestimate. We live in a noisy.
That's one of them, actually.
Oh, she loves that one.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm old school a little bit, I'm just starting to be able to speak Enneagram, but I can speak Myers-Briggs. That was, So I'm like right on the introvert extrovert line practically.
You gotta be more extroverted.
No, see, here's what you don't. I'm high energy.
Yeah,
but I'm also tight. So with a small group of four people and connecting hearts, good. You put me into the bigger crowd, and I'm like, I'm okay hanging back.
I'm laughing. I'm the same way. Yeah. My wife's super extrovert. And then people think, oh, you're an extrovert. I'm like, no, in small circles, I look like I am. But
I got you, bro. Yep. And but I say that the silence and solitude and being able to hear your own thoughts and be able to know what's going on in your soul. And I've done a lot of diving deep. I've always been a fan of them. And then diving deep into Dallas Willard, a man who left a mark on this planet that is just a little bit beautifully mind-bending. And a good friend of his wrote a biography called Becoming Dallas Willard. Amazingly well done, but it goes in, and I just say that he's a man that really, and anything can become rote, anything can become a pattern, and that you have to keep the disciplines alive, you have to keep them flexing, and otherwise, again, it's gonna almost just be the same old, same old.
Yeah, it becomes ritualistic and religion type thing. Yeah.
And then it's always fighting this doesn't make you a better Christian.
Yeah.
It's all about formation.
Yes.
It's all of them coming back to, how do you want to shape me to look more like you and love more like you, Jesus? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So for you, how has that journey been for you in terms of being able to recognize which discipline fits this season? Because I think sometimes that's the hard part, is determining, okay, in this season, this is what I need. Because sometimes, like we just said, sometimes it just becomes like, this is what I'm used to, this is what I keep doing. And so we keep doing the same thing. So how do we become more aware of, okay, I'm in a different season now, this is the one that I need to try or experience or practice?
Really good question. What do you think, Zach?
I actually have something to say about that.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
We're laughing about this because we actually kind of joked that this might happen before we started recording.
I have an answer for it.
And Jason went full on. Hey, that was the Holy Spirit, bro. He was telling you, go that way.
That's hilarious. What you were touching on with the community, what started with what you talked about, Jason, it brought to mind, you know, company culture. People, when they interview for companies, they ask, right? That's one of the questions you ask, like, what's your company culture like, right? Yeah. What came to mind when, as you were talking about how community really matters, mm-hmm. is just, that's the kingdom culture. Mm. That people will call you up out of the blue and ask you, come on over. Like, you need to come over now. That's kingdom culture. Mm-hmm. And that's healthy. It's good. Yeah. It's, you know, something we can't produce out of our own will. That's not something that,
And sadly, it's counterculture, mm-hmm. right? Like, the world is like, well, yeah, relationships are important, but not, mm-hmm. not to this level. It's mm-hmm. like... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not getting relationship on social media. Yeah.
No, come on.
Really?
Come on.
Yeah, really. No, but I'm going to say, I love what you just said. It's so critical, important. And I will say the other thing that, and, you know, because I really, I'm like, I don't know how I've recognized and made these shifts. I didn't have a good answer for you. But in this season as well, I realized that community, God really impressed upon me the importance of being around people. And it was my pastor said to me just days after Tisha had gone home to heaven, and I was at his house and with his family. And the moment I left, he looked at me and he goes, thank you for coming. I hope you realize the healing's going both directions. Mm. And in that time, I did not, because I was just thinking about my own broken and shattered mm-hmm. state. But as I left that and I drove back home, those words were just seemed to be echoing around in my head. And I was just like, God, I believe this is to be true. Mm. And that means if me getting together with other people is the healings for my heart and their heart, it feels like kingdom work I could do. Mm. And I say that more than any other time in my life. And even I'm going to tell you today, later today, I'm doing this. It's like, I am looking forward on my calendar. As I said, I don't have a lot of structure. I don't have full-time work. That could, without a lot of structure, that could be a disaster in this season of my life. Yeah. I'm looking at my calendar doing, God, who do I need to spend time with? Mm. Who do I need to get together with? And in my quiet times, it's just time, and it's noticing even it well. Sometimes, you know, oh, yeah, they reached out to me. Beautiful. Other times, it's just like, notice who came to mind. Mm. Through your day, notice who you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about just calling people up, Zach. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm going to say, if you're just driving around and somebody comes to your mind, reach out to them. Mm-hmm. Just, you might not think I got some great big word for them to encourage. Just, hey, what's going on? How you doing? You know, mm-hmm. just these are, I think so often they're like these little promptings of the Spirit. And as we just take that little step of obedience and do something with that, nothing more than just maybe a name, and just watch what he does. It may be apparent. It may be, you may never know the impact you have on their life.
Thanks for texting and letting me know you're going to be in town.
Yes, thank you for texting and letting her know that you're going to be in town, because we've been really blessed having you on that.
Oh my gosh. And this is just, I've told people right now, I just truly feel like I'm following the cloud. Sometimes I think I know why. I thought I was just coming here to have lunch with Zach and from the past intertwining of our lives. And I just spent the night in Huntington Beach, and I'm making my way back up to the South Bay right now. So it was kind of on the path. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go see Zach and have lunch. And lo and behold, God had bigger plans. So cool. I love it.
It's lunch dot, dot, dot. Right? Yeah. Yes. What else is coming after it?
Yeah. I like that. Kyle, you rock, man.
Well, I think just the question you asked, Damon, was, that's a hard question, yeah. Right? But I think just hearing your responses, Jason, it seems like it's just connection and intimacy with the Lord, and yeah. It's just being sensitive and being willing to have him lead you. And so it's like not being rigid in the sense of, no, I need to do it this way because that's the way it's worked before, but like, yeah. Oh, wow, why am I not connecting with worship this way? Or let me try, or why am I supposed to be trying my worship without YouTube on? Oh, wow, this is different. Oh, I need this. You know, like, yeah. It just seems like it's more intuitive, but that's just, to me, it sounds like the Holy Spirit is, you have a strong connection and you're able to recognize yeah. And be kind of pliable, so to speak.
Mm. No, thank you.
So kind of in conjunction with that question a little bit, do you feel like for you, it came from, okay, what I've been doing doesn't seem to be working right now. I need to try something new. Or do you feel like it was more like just a prompting? Like, for example, with the YouTube, going yeah. From YouTube, hearing all this worship music to now, I'm not even going to turn the radio on in the car. Like, that's a very dramatic, drastic shifting. Was it like, oh, the YouTube is not working right now. Maybe I need to try something different. Or did you feel like, oh, no, the Lord's really saying, no, just turn it. I need you by yourself right now.
Yeah. Good question. You know, it was as I think about it, there was a little bit of a shift. We are in some of my readings and reflections, and I'm also, as you might have guessed, just a little bit of a contemplative person. A lot of a contemplative.
Dallas Willard.
yeah.
Kind of gave me a little clue.
yeah. And in that, I mean, in my reading, we're in this society with so much sound, you know, we're so distracted by things. I'd heard people say that, you know, literally of listening. I mean, it's like, oh yeah, I got to have music on, you know, because I might hear what I'm thinking, you know, and I'm like, whoa, or even knowing that they're using music to mentally manage themselves or other things. And I was just like in this place of initially going, I really need to know what's going on in my head in this season. I've never walked a season of grief anywhere near this or loss. God, I really, really need to know what's going on in my head. I need to be able to better hear my own thoughts. And when are they starting to, let's just say, maybe trend downward into some hopelessness, or my emotions, when are they starting to sag? And so it was a recollection of, I felt that would be important and helpful for me to catch things before they maybe sunk too deep. And they have. It's helped me. It's like, ooh, yeah, that's not a very positive thought process rolling there, Jason. So I think it was just God just kind of set me up to pick that up, and then I just made some more, as you said, a little, some bigger swings than a lot of people might make.
That's a good word. Even so, going back to Ross's message of looking for opportunities in the problem, so to speak, is having self-awareness. Because I think that you touched on a big thing with our society. There's so much stimulation, so many voices, so much stuff coming at us. If we can't tune it down intentionally or have moments where it's down, like, how are we going to be self-aware of, am I just masking it? Am I just like covering over and it's actually there? Or, oh no, I genuinely feel like I'm in a good place because I've checked in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's huge. Because I think as a society, we don't value that enough, and we don't do it well enough. I see you shaking your head, Zach. No, you don't want to talk.
He's like, amen, amen. Amen.
Well, yeah, and then let's face it, we're all human, but you know, when you're not managing that and it's going not the best of directions, it's your life and the people that you probably love around you, they're gonna take the hits. Because I mean, whether it's your anger, whether it's your fear, whether it's your frustration, whatever it is, it's going to come out
some way. Yeah.
And unfortunately, we all know, you know, those people who are around you the most, your family, your close friends, they're going to probably take some of it, and here's the people we love the most that are not getting the best part of us.
So true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up on some time.
Time flies when you're having fun.
I know. I feel like there's been so many nuggets that, I mean, this might be an episode that people have to listen to multiple times just to be able to glean all the different things that you've shared with us, Jason. It's just been such a blessing to have you share lunch with you, share this opportunity for you to be able to share with our congregation. You know, are there any, you know, last thoughts that you would want to leave our people with, and just so maybe something that God's been highlighting to you recently that you feel like, oh, this is something that I would really love to bless this community with. Like, I mean, I already feel so blessed with all the things that you've shared, but if there's one last thing that you would want to leave us with, I think that would be awesome.
I do want to encourage you. And I think it really goes to where almost I started. You got to take the time and look for what God is doing. Mm-hmm. Take that time. He's at work in your life. Mm. In more seasons, it's more clear. Mm. But this is where the time of you have to push the pause button. And I know there's some of you probably listening. Let me just face it. I mean, my wife and I never had kids. We have fur babies. And so there may be some of you that are like new moms with a baby. Okay. You know, full amnesty, you know, you're trying to figure out how to survive and maybe get a little sleep. Right. But it's so many of us, what do you maybe need to stop doing or turn the volume knob down on in your life so you can have more time to reflect, to take that moment and reflect upon the day, the time, and look, God, what is the good things that I see you doing? Where am I seeing love in action around me? And then there's even the second part of this, like I've been on the receiving piece, but even now more and more in my life, I'm shifting and going, who is it that I need to love on? Who is it that I need to call out to? And who do I need to be the conduit of God's spirit, love, and power into their lives? And so unless we push that pause button, unless we just maybe turn the volume knobs down, you're not gonna be able to hear that still small voice and those little nudges that are gonna be so rewarding to you and advance the kingdom of God, and you're gonna find purpose and meaning in your life and into the ways that He's purposed and planned to use you. All of these, you are His workmanship, you are His masterpiece, and He has these things that He's planned for you in advance that we're going to get to just move by His Spirit. And so non-big booming ways that just are rewarding to our souls and the souls of those around us.
Amen.
Yeah, I really do feel like what you had shared earlier in terms of recognizing the good that the Lord is doing in you is conforming you into the likeness of His Son. And, you know, through this difficult season that you've been going through and grieving and everything, but you are able to love others and you're able to encourage others, and you really are living that out.
Yes.
Living out.
Thank you.
That, you know, we're able to see the Lord, we're able to see Jesus in you because of what the Lord has done in your life and how He's shaped you and how He's conforming you into His image. So Jason, it's just been such a blessing to have you on. Thank you again.
This has been awesome. You guys are great. Of course, I've known Zach, but, you know, getting to cruise with you guys for the last, you know, couple hours, I'm like, dang, this is awesome.
You do have a family here in Long Beach, so don't forget about us.
I won't.
I really appreciate you letting us as a church like into your life a little bit and being vulnerable and sharing. Because I think I really value that you're not covering over the struggle, the hurt that has been, that is ongoing, that will be, you know, that there's still difficult times, but you're showing us like true ways to walk it out in a way that's honoring to the Lord. And
thank you.
It's one thing to know it in theory and to hear about it, but then just to genuinely hear it from somebody, like the way you've shared it, I really, really appreciate it. And I know our church family will as well.
No. And I can clearly say, I know I'm a different man than I was on July 15th, 2023, the day before that diagnosis.
Wow. Yeah.
And what he's done in me, it's, I'm just so grateful. Mm-hmm. And of course, is you'd never want to, you'd never ask for this and never even want it, but that's just how faithful and good and loving he is. Mm-hmm. I heard someone shared with me this language that I loved. They listened to me talk one day and they looked at me and he goes, this reminds me of this movie. This line in this movie was, everything you're talking about is collateral beauty. Mm-hmm. We all talk about collateral damage. Mm-hmm. Will Smith did a movie in 2016 or something like that. And I look back and, I mean, it's an interesting movie. It's really not God-centered and everything. It's not that. But that to say, that language is, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this hard time, mm-hmm. and I'm going to Romans 8:28. I'm going to bring something wonderful out of it. And this moment right here is collateral beauty. Because mm-hmm. if I wouldn't have had walking through that time, we wouldn't be sitting here, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't want got to meet some just new, amazing, wonderful people in the kingdom of God and reconnect with a person that I also cherish for a long time in SAC. Mm-hmm. And so it is, just watch out for the collateral beauty.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, and it's just amazing God's timing on everything too, that we're going in the middle of this series and just had a sermon yesterday on seeing earthly problems as heavenly opportunities. And then now we get a chance to have Jason come in and share with us what that actually looks like in real life and mm-hmm. someone who's living that out. So, you know, you're always welcome, Jason, whenever you're in town to come back on. We'd love to hear what the Lord is doing in your life.
And who just, knows what's next?
Yeah. Yeah. So just anytime we'd love you. To have you on. Thanks again for all of you guys out there. Thanks for listening to another episode of Engage to Flourish. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.